Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to your Friday Night Live Philosophy Fest on, my God, January just went by in a frozen, hot space, soul-crushing tsunami of ice. Ooh, that's some rigidly mixed metaphors and analogies. Tis not? Yes, tis. Yes, tis. So I hope you are doing well. I'd love to get your questions, thoughts, issues, comments, challenges, criticisms, whatever you like. That's a lot of forehead, man. Couldn't find my hat. So I'm afraid you get the giant expansion. So I did actually, I went on a show. And it'll be a little while till it's out, but let's say it was a very different experience. Hope you and your family are well. Thank you. Thank you for the tip. Troy, Gene Wars is so good, too good to be free. Well, thank you. That's very kind. A little bit of bookkeeping, or housekeeping, as they say in the business world, up front. Number one, freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. Put out some absolutely fantastic responses yesterday to X or Twitter questions. Shop.freedomain.com to get your tasty merch. We've got some really great stuff there. And freedomain.com/books, a new redesign page to make it even easier to get a hold of my 18 books. That's a long weekend for Stephen King, isn't it? He's still writing fiction, but mostly on X, as far as I understand it. So, yes, you'll see whose show I went on, but it was it's been a while since I was out of the studio, and so it was really nice to be back in the saddle again, back on the planet, and so on. So, glad to be back with you all. Happy to take your questions and comments. As I said, I wanted to talk to you. Thrilled and happy, though I am, of course, to hear your questions and comments. Just while I'm waiting for those to come. James, if you could take the ones from X, I can't easily access on that little phony phone thing here. But if you could take them and put them into the chat on, I guess we can do Rumble or YouTube or something like that. I would appreciate that. So, yes, and I did something in a live show I've never done before, and I did it 5 or 6 times. Like a teen. Anyway, so that will be out in due course, and I hope that you will enjoy it, and I'm very glad to have done it. Thanks. So I wanted to talk to you about lying. Lying. I think... Tell me if this has ever been the case for you. Has it ever been the case that you have been genuinely shocked by another person's complete lack of conscience? That is a wild thing in life. If you come across somebody and, you know, it is, I mean, I don't know what percentage of the population it is exactly, but I would sort of guesstimate about 10%. Of the population, I mean, I would assume the white population, that's most of what I've moved around, could be higher in other ethnicities. I'd say about 1 in 10 people can just lie their asses off with no hesitation, no compunction, no pauses, full eye contact, serious face, no hesitation, no voice trembling, no nervous darting eyes. And sometimes, particularly if they're high IQ, they have the astounding ability to keep every detail intact. There's a scene in Good Will Hunting where the woman asks Will how many brothers he has, and he lists them all off, and then she says, what was that again? She was giving him some kind of test, and he lists them all off again. And just a liar. An absolute brilliant, brilliant liar. I mean, Olympic Clinton style. And I don't know, let me know if you've ever encountered someone like that. I don't just mean in passing, you know, somebody who you suspect is a bullshit artist just at some party or something like that, but somebody who just lies all the time. It is their musculature. And sometimes it's not even for profit. You ever meet someone like that? They don't even lie for profit. It's just a hobby. It's a calling. It's their religion, the god of bullshit. And it's really hard to process morality as a whole and to understand where the world is if you don't particularly follow just how many liars there are in the world and how powerful they are. Tell me if you've, as somebody says, I struggled with that too, with that in someone else or that in yourself. And somebody said, oh yeah, your father is like that. Yeah, the lying. Have you ever been tempted by, you know, if you've ever watched the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey? Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, do. He's unplugging these modules, right? Pulling them out. He's taking down the AI that was trying to kill him. And have you ever thought or wondered about how powerful you would be without a conscience? You ever had that? If you could do whatever you wanted, whenever you wanted, without fear, without guilt, without shame, maybe you have some caution. Of course, you have some caution. You don't want to get caught and so on, right? Sociopaths don't like to get caught, so they'll be cautious, right? They're the guys who'll pickpocket somebody's wallet, and then if they see the camera, they'll gesture at the camera and put the wallet back. But I think it's really important to try and get into the mindset of people who have no conscience. Because without getting into the mindset of people who have absolutely no conscience, I think it's really tough to understand the world. So, you know, when you and I make commitments, like when I make a commitment, I'm not going to, oh, look at me, how gloriously morally magnificent. But, you know, I think the people who've worked with me and so on have this experience that when I make a commitment, I will really work to make it. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. If I forget something, if people remind me, I'll immediately try to make it happen. Because I have something that sort of circles in my head. You know, you ever have this thing, you're out on a backyard patio or something like that. It's summertime and you're kind of chilling and there's a bee. It's kind of floating around, just a bee just around, right? And you can't really forget the bee. And you have to get up and deal with it, or there's a wasp that keeps coming back or whatever it is, right? Have you ever been this at a restaurant? It can even happen in high-end restaurants. When my wife and I went out for our anniversary dinner, we went to a pretty nice restaurant. It was a lunch, actually. We went out for our anniversary lunch, and there was a fly just around. Couldn't squash it, wouldn't go away. It's just there, and it kind of takes up your mind. I mean, that's the conscience, right? Socrates referred to it as this daemon or this like thing on his shoulder that would inform him if he was on the right course or the wrong course. The conscience is our universalization metric. Like, we have this amazing ability to conceptualize, to universalize. It's how we partake of eternity. It's what the soul is a metaphor for, is our ability to partake of eternity. And for the effects of our thoughts to produce heaven or hell in the world, in the social world, in the political world. And so the idea that at the end of our life, we go to heaven or we go to hell, that's an analogy for the thoughts that we produce in the world leading to good things or leading to bad things in the world. But the consciousness. Now imagine what a different day you have or a different afternoon you have if you're in a backyard and there's no bugs, there's no wasps, no bees, nothing, right? And you can really relax, right? Do whatever you want, say whatever you want, think whatever. But if you got the bees or the wasps just kind of circling around, it's just, you know, it can be annoying and frustrating and so on, but There are people who have no conscience. They only have concern about blowback. They are, in a very foundational sense, predators. So, of course, the lion creeps up on the gazelle, or the springbok, or the zebra, and the lion is pretending it's not a lion. It's creeping, it's moving up slowly through the thick grass, the deep grass, hiding behind things, and it's pretending to not be a lion, right? That's its basic thing. It doesn't feel bad about that. In fact, it feels very good about that. It doesn't sit there and say, ooh, you know, I really am pretending to not be a lion. That's kind of unfair. I should really give this zebra a chance, you know, whatever. It gets as close as it possibly can before the zebra can scent it or notice it, and then it pounces. And it is really, really happy the longer it is undetected. In fact, if it can get right up and just leap and take the zebra down, it's super happy. There's no conscience there. That's what I mean by a predator. Like a predator, a shark can smell a drop of blood at a quarter mile. And they just zoom in, and if they're hungry, the closer they can get, the happier, without being noticed, the happier they are. So that's what I mean by a predator. They love, love, love not being detected. They only have concern or caution about blowback. They have no concern or caution about lying, falsifying. And so as one of the reasons I never got into politics, I think I would have a good talent for politics. I'm pretty good debating. I'm pretty good at extemporaneous speaking. Oh, and don't forget, Word War Debate, wordwardebate.com. I'll be out there in Atlantic City in March, the 18th, I think it is, but you can double check there. And it's going to be a meet and greet. It's going to be dinner. It's going to be a debate. Love to meet you all. But the people without a conscience, if I went into politics and I made commitments to, say, uphold the rule of law, to, say, not break all the laws in Canada by declaring an unjust national emergency and suspending civil rights and privacy and access to your bank account, things like that. When I make a mistake or if I can't keep a commitment, I feel terrible. I mean, it's partly morality. I get that, and I'm not going to pretend it's not, but I'm also not going to pretend it's only morality. I feel bad when I don't keep a commitment to someone who's not kept a commitment to me. Now, I can manage that. That's mostly in the rear view for me, but there were certain times where I'd feel obligated for that. It's that sort of tidy-whitey over-focus on, oh, what, fair play, what. So if I was in politics, I made a commitment, I would feel bad to not be able to keep it. But that's rare in the realm of life and in the realm of politics. In fact, if you feel bad for not keeping your commitments in politics, you really can't be a politician. You can't make it work. You can't have it happen. In business, you know, a man's word is his bond. I mean, one of the few times I've ever signed a contract in the last 21 years was to go out to Australia, where we were supposed to get paid, and they had no money, and the money vanished in rather suspicious ways, to put it mildly. Still worthwhile. Still worthwhile. It was great being out there giving the speeches. That's one of my favorite memories. My daughter was like 9 back then, and we were, of course, we'd flipped the time zones, so we were up all night, and a lot of people lining up to have a chat, which was great, to buy some books, which was great, and they wanted me to sign their books, and then they wanted my daughter to sign the books. My daughter was sitting next to me signing the books. It was just fantastic. Also, it was because, again, she was like all over the map, as was I, with regards to the time zone. But I remember giving a real barn burner of a speech to like 1,000 people, and they had a $100,000 camera on me and so on. And at the end of it, I was very proud. I was very happy with what I did. I look up at my daughter. It's good to know that I can put her to sleep at like that. So, yeah, I'm sorry. Let me just check in with your messages here. Because, oh, I don't need this up here. So I can take that down. So what have we got here? Can we discuss the new Australian hate laws? I think they were put on hold, weren't they? I heard both things. A, that they were put on hold and they're back on. Yeah, well, I mean, it is all the people who want to do terrible things need to silence you from talking about them. So it's very sad. Somebody says, my father is the most degenerate liar I've ever known. Alcohol made it effortless for him. Yeah, I love the fact that alcohol companies are losing money. I love that fact. I really, now, I'll be honest with you. I will have maybe one or two drinks a year. If it's really hot and a neighbor is out and, you know, we're chatting or whatever, and he's like, hey, you want a beer? I'll have a, so, you know, I'm not like a complete teetotaler, but I really don't drink and I don't really care to. And I hate alcohol companies. They have been disassembling health, happiness, families, and flourishing for thousands of years. And of course, you know, the alcoholics are responsible for being alcoholics. You can get mad at the supplier while not removing free will from the consumer. I mean, that's within the realm of possibility, probability, and so on. Somebody says, oh, if you could get rid of your conscience, I'd be a Machiavellian. I'd be a Machiavellian without a conscience. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see here. Somebody says, somebody on X says, yes, I'm dealing with what I think is a covert malignant narcissist. I cannot wrap my head around it yet. Yeah. If you think about sort of the attacks on the West that have been going on for, I mean, well over 100 years, just this absolute relentless, bottomless, implacable hatred that has been going on around the world and among particular groups for years and years and years and decades, maybe even centuries, maybe even millennia. And just that bottomless, implacable hatred, and to just lie. And lying works. You know, people lied about me continually for, what was it, like 15 years, maybe 12 or 13. People just lied about me without a seeming shred of conscience. And they lied about me steadily for 15 years, and then the fruition of that lying was my deplatforming. It really worked. It was very effective. And, you know, a lie goes twice around the world while the truth is still getting its boots on. So, yeah, it is really wretched and terrible stuff what people do. They can just lie without a conscience, and it works. It's very effective. It's very powerful. Somebody says, I've been taught to feel bad and for a feed lions. And feed lions? Something like that. A predator or someone who is worried about blowback. That is why they form groups. They'll cover for one another in exchange for the others to do the same for them. Yeah, for sure. That's just the reinforcement, right? So Wikipedia feeds to Google, and then Google feeds to the search engines, and people pick up from the search engines and all that kind of stuff, right? The most successful politicians are often the best con artists. Yes, that's true. Jay, I'm glad you are here. Let's see here. Somebody says, my dad actually, not directed at me and nothing to do with lying, but he could say really unpleasant things without seeming to be bothered. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I certainly have had to put aside gentleness and friendliness and conscience when dealing with a real predator. You just have to meet them on their own level and not be at all fussy about fighting dirty. I make the classical mistake of thinking the world is like me, projection. Yeah, isn't it? We have our own template for humanity, which which is us. We think people are like us. Well, gee, I'd feel really bad if I lied to someone. So I'm sure this person is telling the truth, right? Because we tell the truth for reasons of morality, and those of us with empathy and a conscience, we tell the truth for a fear of punishment from our own conscience. And so when other people, you know, look us directly in the eye and say, safe and effective, safe and effective, right? And you'll notice that one of the tells for a pathological liar is the constant nodding and the smiling. Safe and effective. We haven't found any problems with it, right? They'll give you the smile. They'll give you the nod as a way of trust in me, hypnotizing you, right? Is that a hypnotizing boogie? And there is also in the pathological liar, and I wanted to give you some tips on how to identify them, there is the other thing with the pathological liar, which is there is an absolute whiff of strange danger if you cross into the line of skepticism. Right? And so you get all this smiling and nodding. You can see this. This was all over the place in COVID when you were talking about what they were claiming was a deadly pathogen, and still lots of smiling and nodding, and all our data indicate, and yeah, everything. We have found we cannot trust the unvaccinated, right? It's weird because the eyes don't smile, but the mouth is smile, and the nodding is designed to get you to nod back. Right. So they know that they don't have a conscience, but they know you have a conscience. So if someone is smiling and nodding at you, you will have the urge to smile and nod back because you had mirroring as a child and so on. Right. But there's always this whiff of danger. So if you start asking questions, you get this kind of shot across. You get this laser eyes. Right. You get this smiling and nodding. Right. Bit of a Erica Kirk. Right. This shot across the bows, this sudden cold freezing, that's the predator stuff. So there's the hypnosis of the smiling and nodding, and then there's this flash, and it's really fast, and you get this tension, right? This impatience. I've already explained it, all right? I've already explained it. And then you go back to the smiling and nodding. Well, I've already explained it, right? So there's a shot across your bows, which is your first tripwire, you just get a shot across the bows. God help you. If you expose me, I will stop at nothing, right? This is what people say. If you expose me, I will stop at nothing to wreck and destroy you. Somebody said, oh, how long does it take to sniff out a liar? Well, the best way to sniff out a liar is to ask skeptical questions, right? Safe and effective. How do you know? Well, there's been testing. Okay, how long was it tested for? 3 months. Okay, but here it says that it's safe for pregnancy, but how could you tell if it's safe for pregnancy when pregnancy is 9 months, you only test it for 3 months? Oh, and where's the data? Well, we know for sure it didn't come from a lab. Okay, how do you know for sure it didn't come from a lab? How is it racist to say it came from a lab? A lab is not a race, right? And it was the French who built that damn thing anyway. So you just ask a couple of skeptical questions. Not hostile, just, you know, explain it to me like I'm 3 years old. How do you know that novel technology like mRNA shots that has never worked in animal testing is now amazingly safe for human beings? Well, the best scientists have said is like, well, but, you know, I mean, come on. Scientists have said cigarette was safe. Scientists designed the food pyramid and were completely corrupted in that process. Science has had a huge amounts of errors. Science that thalidomide was safe. So scientists get things wrong, particularly when there's significant financial incentives, right? Scientists said that we'd all be underwater by now and there'd be no polar ice, right? So you just ask a couple of basic skeptical questions and you'll just see that flash, that rage. And that will escalate until they remove you from the environment and then work to destroy your reputation because you have to be held up as a smoking-hearted example of sacrifice so that nobody else even thinks of trying to question them. So sniff out a liar. You know, I love to be questioned. I love it when people come up and say, Steph, you're totally wrong. right? We had John Balfour a couple of months ago, a philosophy professor, logical, really, I mean, has a sort of odd kind of half fetishistic hatred for the big chatty forehead. And he was on the line and I'm like, come on in, man, come talk to me. I'm happy to be questioned. I'm happy to be cross examined. I have nothing to hide and I can't lose from being cross examined because either I reinforce my position or I get a better argument, which I'm happy about as well. So it's a no lose situation. And I'm not lying about anything. I mean, I might not be right about everything because possibility of error is always there, but I'm not lying about it. I'm not going to cover anything up. I'm not lying about anything. But people who lie, they have to give you warning shots so that you don't ask any questions. People who get upset when you ask skeptical questions are liars. I challenge you, and I'm not saying it's been 21 years, but I challenge you to find a time when I get angry just because someone asks a question or criticizes me or, right? I mean, show me a time where somebody says, I disagree with you or I think you're wrong, and I get angry. Like, that doesn't, I mean, if people are really manipulative and so on, then yes, I will get angry after a while, but I'm very happy to be questioned. The reason, just in case anyone's interested, the reason why I get angry is that when people come in for a debate with me or come in for a conversation with me where we disagree, which is fine, it's great, in fact, then the assumption is if they're wrong, they will withdraw their criticism. If they cannot sustain their criticism, then they will withdraw their criticism if I prove them wrong, right? So John Balfour said that I didn't understand the difference between deductive and inductive reasoning. And then I gave the examples from my book, and he said, oh, well, I guess you do, or whatever it is, right? So he'd said that I don't understand these things. It turns out that I do understand these things. So normally you would say, I'm sorry, I misunderstood, or I'm sorry, it turns out you do understand these things. I'm sorry, I publicly said you don't understand the basic differences in logic, blah, blah, blah. But nope, I just, you know, it's like the prosecutor charges you with a crime and then they can't convict you of that crime. And they just switch to another crime and they just, you know, show me the man, I'll show you the crime. They just keep coming at you with various crimes, right? You know that that's not a good faith prosecution. It's not moral. It's punitive. It's, right? So when people can't admit fault, when people won't maintain the basic civility of, if we're going to have a debate, we have to both bow to reason and evidence, right? We have to both. Otherwise, it's just two people talking past each other and it's not an actual debate. And people know, I mean, I said the debate, the art of the argument is civilization itself. So I really, really care about the quality of debates. I really, really care about the fact that people need to stick to rationality and the rules of evidence and the rules of logic and the rules of empiricism in order to have productive debates. So when anybody comes in to me and wants to have a conversation, which is great, and a debate, and they say that I'm wrong, then I'm going to automatically assume that they're going to go in accordance with reason and evidence. I'm not sure of that, but, you know, and I'll give it a try, right? And if people won't, they say, Steph, you're wrong because of X, Y, and Z, and I disprove that, and then they won't budge their position, then that's a form of fraud, and it's a fundamental falsehood. So that angers me because it's a fundamental breaking of a social contract, and it is a form of fraud. Somebody says, I know a girl in her early 20s, where her father has been giving her weed for several years. She loves him dearly and is unable to see him for what he is. I personally can't square it in my head. Well, we know that one, right? That's one of the saddest things around, which is we can only have a relationship, say so many people, we can only have a relationship if you don't question me. We can only have a relationship if you never criticize me. We can only have, you know how people do it, right? You can only have a relationship if you agree with everything that I say, right? Yeah, you just need to press them, and if they get mad or evade, that's your sign. Yeah, for sure. People with nothing to hide welcome questions. People with genuine expertise welcome criticism. People who want to improve welcome criticism and so on, right? So when people make claims and you begin to ask them skeptical questions, they should be thrilled. You know, if someone has designed an amazing motor and you say, oh, I'm going to need to know more about this motor. I can't believe it works. And someone tell me how this part works. They love to show it to you. You know, when people come up to me or call me up or whatever and say, UPB is wrong. I'm like, hey, fantastic. This is going to give me another chance to explain it. I'm going to release this weekend the greatest essay in the history of philosophy. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. And it's another way of explaining this, right? So people love to explain what it is that they're doing. If someone's created something really cool and you say, well, tell me how this works, right? Lovely. If somebody wants to say to me, step me through how UPB is proven, like step by step, I'm like, lovely, fantastic. My nipples are hard. I probably shouldn't say it in that voice, but you know what I mean. Basically, I'm 80s Madonna on tour at the moment. So, well, it's cold out. What can I tell you? I can cut two holes in glass. All right. Kay says, yeah, my dad started smoking weed with me when I was 11. It's really messed up and confusing when you're young and you think your dad loves you. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. It's just awful. Just awful. Steph on a Friday night is such a gift. Thanks, Steph. Hey, man. Steph on any night is a gift. No, I appreciate that. Thank you. I didn't start to realize my dad isn't capable of love until pretty recently. Oh, do not make me come over there, Miss K. Do not make me come over there. Isn't capable of love. Ugh. You don't know that. You don't know that. He might have been capable of love and then done so much evil and corruption that love gets burned out of him. But, you know, if I let myself get to 300 pounds, which is what would happen if I didn't restrain my eating at all times, but if I let myself get to 300 pounds, never got off the couch, you say, Steph is incapable of playing pickleball. Technically for me, as a male, it's pickleballs, because I'm not Hitler. But you don't know. He might have been capable of love, but then just made so many bad decisions that... Right? Is it genetic or is it chosen? It's chosen. By the time you meet your father, he might have been so corrupted that he had no chance to undo it, but you don't know. He's incapable of love. And that's giving him an out, so you don't have to judge him. And still I wait. Hey, Steph. Do you think the time to convince people has ended with the ubiquity of information we have these days? Yes, the age of reason is past. Now it is just the age of calming your conscience by saying everything you can for the next cycle of history and heading to the high hills when the shite starts to hit the fan. He wanted someone to complain to and bond with. He thought it was making us closer and he would complain about his wife to me. Yeah. Yeah, it was an exploiter. There's no bonding. There's no bonding. There's no bonding without two ways, right? Without two ways. Have you seen Tucker Carlson's video on The Great Replacement? He seems to be doing amazing work for the truth. Yeah, I mean it's an interesting idea. Maybe if people had focused on what other people were saying 20 years ago, but what are you going to do now? Isn't it everyone's solemn responsibility to be among the less deceived? I don't even know what that means. Solemn responsibility only matters to people who accept responsibilities. So, Steph, the biggest psyop must not be questioned because everything falls apart when you start, so most people don't even want to talk about it. Is that what Andrew Tate was alluding to in his The Matrix? The Matrix. I can't do it, Andrew Tate. So the other thing that helps you identify liars is when they have power over you, they're ferocious. They will try to get power over you with the nodding and the smiling, right? And then if they get power over you, they're ferocious. If you have power over them, then they turn to self-pity, right? So this is the swing, right? They're either at your feet or at your throat. This is the swing that happens when your parents have power over you when you're little. If you have brutal and cruel parents, then they have power over you, and then they're brutal. When you get older and you don't have to see them anymore, then what happens? Well, it's all about self-pity, and I did the best I could, and how could you be so cruel, and I guess I'm not perfect, but who is, and I guess I was just the worst mother slash father ever. You get all this self-pity, right? So it's cruelty when in power, and piteousness when you have power. You can see this brilliantly done in the character Gollum in Lord of the Rings, where he verges between self-pity and malicious cruelty, right? All right. Thank you for the tip, Andrew. That is very kind. Very kind. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. After probing them for lies or critical thinking skills, when they run out of things to say, I found people to say the phrase, well, we had to do something. I guess we'll just agree to disagree, right? That's so that you don't shatter the narcissistic bubble that they live in. Then, of course, like you said, they will mark or target you and snipe at you from all angles, coming from people you don't even know, but they know you. And there's really no way to fight back other than mark them back amongst like-minded people like us here. It's not fun, but the process can make one stronger. Yeah. Yeah, you don't fight with higher standards than those you fight against. That's something that the right has yet to understand. All right, probably too late anyway now. So, thank you, Andrew. He says, thank you for keeping the truth alive and spreading. My cheeks, what do you mean? Thank you. Steph approved the state murder of Renee Good. That's some excellent trolling. I mean, blindingly obvious and dumb trolling, but good for you for just saying things that are not true and oh so provocative and blah, 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 blah. Well done. What an argument you've made. So impressive. Boy, you've just shoved that pincushion where the sun don't shine, and I'm going to walk around bow-legged for the rest of time. You have just owned me so hard, and you have shown me how I'm wrong. Hilarious. Thank you, Massey. I appreciate the tip. freedomain.com/donate. I have to overcome my fear of questioning people. I feel like I'm being rude or something. I know it's not right, but the fear is so strong. Well, it's not your fear of questioning people. It's your fear of being brutalized by liars. Because if you question people who are a con man, then they will come after you with everything they have. There's an old saying that the boredom is rage spread thin. Con men or charm is usually rage with makeup, right? Charm is just rage with makeup. It's predatory. And it is contemptuous, right? You got to put yourself in the mindset of a lion approaching a zebra, right? Entitlement, greed, hunger, complete absence of empathy for the zebra, and a deep joy at the prospect of chewing through its jugular. Like, honestly, a deep, deep predatory thrill and joy and happiness at being able to feed yourself and your family, right? So they love it. They love the hunt. And if you expose them, then they will make pretty short work of you, pretty clearly. I mean, in the sort of whole history of philosophy, the 15 years that they lied about me or the dozen years they lied about me, it's pretty effective and pretty well done. And of course, the purpose of going after you is to frighten everyone else. So if you've ever had someone who comes up to you and they're like, hey, you know, did you notice something kind of weird was going on with Bob the other day? He just, didn't you, like, he just, I don't mean to speak ill. I don't. I like Bob. I really, I like Bob. But there's something going on with that guy. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it is. Something kind of odd, kind of quirky, kind of weird. I mean, again, it's just my thoughts. I don't mean to speak ill of the guy, because I like him and I care about him. I really want nothing but the best for him. But I think I get this kind of weird feeling that he's hiding something. You know, every time I try and talk to him, his eyes are darting all over the room. He keeps shifting and moving. He's never quite still, and he's kind of jumpy, and I don't know. It's not like he's guilty about something, but it's not like the opposite of that either. It's just kind of weird. And, you know, I tell you, the reason I'm thinking, and I really want to get your thoughts on it, but the reason I'm thinking about this is, like, so the other day, Maine and Elm Street, Maine and Elm, right? I don't know if you've ever been past this. There's this big, deep puddle, right? So, you know, Bob's got that flashy caddy, right? And so he's coming down. You can't mistake it, right? So I see the guy coming down. I give him a big wave. I thought maybe he'd stop, roll down his window, say hi or whatever. Or, you know, heaven forbid, ask me if he could give me a lift because it was kind of raining. So on that corner, was it Maine and Elm? There's this, it's like a depression, or it's not like a pothole. It's a lot longer and deeper than that. So Bob comes up in this flashy caddy, and I swear to God, I can't tell for sure, but I'm 99% sure we made eye contact. You know, he's got that crack. Like, he really should get it fixed, but, you know, he's got this crack running along. And I saw his eyes. And he eye contact with me. And the guy turns the wheel slightly. Again, I think he's staring straight at me. And he kind of guns it into that puddle and splashes the living shit out of me. Like, you know, that dirty, muddy, gritty city rainwater. And just blows past, right? And I thought I saw him do this over his shoulder. Again, it was raining. It's a little hard to tell. But it seems like even if he didn't know it was me, the fact that he'd hit that puddle and douse me, I don't know, man. There's something going on with the guy. He's not the guy he used to be. You know, I mean, I remember, like, I met him. Oh, God, what was it? I want to be precise about this because I don't want to get anything wrong. 5 years and 8 months ago. Sorry about that. And kind of free and easy, relaxed and fun. And he's just, his shoulders keep getting higher. And now he's talking like he doesn't even move his teeth. And he just seems kind of tense and weird, man. And I mean, what have you seen? I'm worried about the guy. I really am. There's something going on with him that's just strange. I don't know if he's cheating on Kathy. I don't know. It's the kind of look, you know, like, God, the first job I had, there was an accountant who got caught with his hand in the till, like he was pulling a calf out of a cow. He was like armpit deep in the till. And I remember for the couple of months, he had that whole shifty air about him. And I mean, it's kind of had this weird deja vu when I'm looking at Bob, because I'm like, is that the same? Is that this? Because he had kind of this, you know, this tense, squirrely look and so on. Anyway, he got caught and no, not obviously not Bob, but the accountant at the first place I worked. He got caught, went to jail, and I think he might still be there. Like it was a lot of money. He was really, really squirrely. It turned out he had some, I think it was a gambling addiction. I don't think it was drugs, but I think it was a gambling addiction. And so he was pilfering from the company to pay off, obviously, some pretty shady Joe Pesci types for the gambling thing. So I don't know. I'm just getting this weird deja vu. And like ever since that whole accountant thing, I've been like, keep my eye out for this guy. I really want to keep my eye out for this kind of stuff. With people like Bob, because that, I don't want to get into the whole story here because I don't want to bore you to tears, but that almost took me down with it. Because when people are going through something really squirrely and their life is unraveling or things are falling apart, and I really get that sense from Bob, they will, you know, like drowning man, grabbing at anything, right? And ever since that thing with the accountant, like, God, but I've been in the workforce like a decade, nine years. Yeah, no, that 20, oh God, 20, yeah, it was 2017. So 9 years. No, I guess he's out of prison because I think it was 6 or 7 years. But ever since then, since that guy tried to take me, he actually tried to implicate me and say that I was doing something with my expense accounts. And he really, I almost got really badly burned in that, like almost got dragged into something criminal. And so I really, really, I vowed to myself to just keep an eye out for that kind of stuff and make sure that people don't drag you down. So what do you think? So someone like that, sorry, just to break out of that. So someone like that, they'll layer in a whole series of things, implications and so on. And what they're doing is they're trying to get trying to get you to turn against Bob and try and spread that. And they're trying to prime you, right? So what happens is they'll say negative things about Bob, which means everyone, and they'll go, they'll do the circle, right? They'll do the circle and nothing that can be caught off because it's all concern. And then what will happen is that people, it'll be a self-fulfilling prophecy because Bob will start to notice that something's kind of odd with the people around him. So he'll start to act a bit more differently, which then becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And once you've primed, like once you've said, oh man, I think someone's hiding something and they seem kind of nervous and you tie them in with some past criminal thing or whatever, then what happens is people start to see it, right? Hey, you ever noticed that Bob seems to lick his lips a lot? And then maybe he doesn't lick his lips that much, but every time now you're ready to see it, right? Now you're primed to see it. And so whenever Bob licks his lips, that's going to be confirmation of some drug problem. So, and so they're doing two things. One, they'll turn you against Bob. Three things. Turn you against Bob, make it a self-fulfilling prophecy, and also say that if they have a problem with you, they'll do to you what they did to Bob. So they're just trying to get you to go in line, right? The story of your enslavement was huge for me. Thank you, mate. I appreciate that. All right. Steph thinks ICE is legitimate. It's so funny because we're talking about liars who just lie without conscience and try to harm reputation. And this person on YouTube is just one of these people. As you speak about them, so shall they be summoned. Stay away from Andrew Tate, says someone. Could you expand on the perspective on the direction we are going? You've already hinted at it several times in this session. Well, I mean, most countries are quicksand that is going to suck down the competent, and then some portal will open up someplace in the world for competent people to get to, and then you should make your way there. How would you define a country? Curious if there's a better answer than geographic location and demographics. It's not really a philosophical question, more of a question of geography. I can't see a liar to save my life, while others think I'm a liar because I'm a nervous person sometimes. Real fun stuff. Well, but the real liars aren't nervous. Like, you can hook someone up who's a real liar to whatever machine you want. No change in pulse, they're just perfectly practiced, perfectly easy. So nervous people tend not to be liars. Who was Steph talking about? I was doing a hacking lesson, an improv lesson about how liars operate. This situation brings to mind target fixation, where drivers subconsciously move towards what they look at. I hope he didn't mean to splash you. Mm-hmm. Thanks as always. I appreciate that. All right. Oh my God, we got a lot of comments. For people who just joined in the middle, you wouldn't understand what I was talking about. I hate how therapists try to make people feel bad for addicts, like they're victims of a disease. Oh yeah, the disease stuff. Everyone's got ADHD and they're on the spectrum, and it's like, I mean, there's, I'm sure, some of that, but. Regarding, he's not the guy he used to be. Oh yeah, I've had someone tell me, you used to be such a funny little kid, and then you got so serious. Somebody says, regarding he's not the guy he used to be. Oh, yeah, I've had someone tell me that. I'm not better, not the same, I'm worse. But the context behind his statement was that he was being fired or pushed out and was lashing out against me. Good riddance. But not really cause, like you said, they will keep coming for me, continuing to lash out to take me down bite by bite. He's demonstrating what subtle character assassination looks like. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Bob the liar, criminal, gambling dude. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And how do you deal with, like, so let's go back to that little role play that I did about subtle character assassination. How do you counter that? How do you counter that? Psychological infection. Yeah, that's what I was doing. It's just a way that people cope with their personal insecurities in a subtle way that I believe doesn't, that they believe doesn't put them in much danger of their motives being exposed, right? Is that Portal America? No. No. I wanted to get your opinion on Greenland, if you don't mind. I know Trump is mad that the US basically pays for Europe's defense so they can give welfare to third worlders. Well, the Greenland thing is because China and Russia are going to make their moves. And it's so funny, of course, the West, the leftists are all like, well, colonialism is terrible and it's stolen land and so on. But the Danes have been running it for what, a century or two? And apparently their claim to Greenland is absolute. It's pretty funny. Yeah, Bob lost me at the splashing. Yeah. I tried proselytizing UPB, but even 115 IQ people zone out and don't care. It's not. Blah, 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 blah. Sorry, I appreciate your feedback. But you splashed me at the road the other day, man. But no, it's not that they zone out and don't care. You give people absolute morality. You give people absolute morality. And you put them on a massive collision course with everyone in their life. Right. So if you give people Christianity, they become Christians, right? Then they can find other Christians who believe what they believe. Let's say that they're a fire and brimstone kind of person. There'll be a great wailing and gnashing of teeth. Well, what if we don't have teeth? Teeth will be provided. It's an old Dave Allen sketch. Anyway, that's a blast from the past. Anyway, so you give people absolute morality and they're on a collision course with everyone around them. That's why they're zoning out. That's why they claim not to care. Because, yeah, if you're a fire and brimstone guy, you can go find other people who are Christians who are fire and brimstone people. Not that hard. If you are a forgive everyone, Erica Kirk, quicksand of sentimental goop, then you can find people like that. So in Christianity, you can, any way the wind blows. So you can get all of that done in Christianity. You find people like yourself. UPB, it's not subjective. It's not a buffet. It's not pick and choose. Because Christianity is, and most religions are distorted mirrors wherein you can find the reflection of just about any personality type, right? So, no, people understand the power of UPB. That's why they zone out. Because everyone loves to believe that they're in relationships because everybody's lovely and good and virtuous and kind and blah, 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 blah. And then if you bring UPB to the table, they say, hey, you know, we have a proof now as to why rape, theft, assault, and murder are evil. We have a proof. It's absolute, universal, incontrovertible. Then what's going to happen is they're turning on the light and you find out how many vampires. You say, hey, let's go meet in the quad. Beautiful day out. Man, it's a waterfall of vitamin D. Let's get out there. Let's roast our ginger papyrus flesh in the big sunny D. And then people don't come meet you in the quad. They're just hanging by their coffins in the shadows, right? So you're trying to bring people into the light. Their skin starts smoking. They start screeching like some Instagram chicken on the top of a tree. Like, oh, well, I guess I was surrounded by the undead after all. I thought I was in a Madonna tour. It turns out I'm in the Michael Jackson dance routine, right? Thriller. All right. Love Steph's voice, even when I don't agree. His voice is still tops. Well, it's not the voice I wanted, man. The voice I wanted was a singing voice, and all I got was a really great speaking voice. Now, you might argue, and you'd probably be right, that it's a little bit more important to have a good speaking voice when talking about philosophy than a good singing voice, particularly if you want a tenor, because people who sing tenor don't have pleasant speaking voices. You got to be baritone or maybe bass for that. So I wanted to sing higher, but I instead got, and I'm actually glad that I did try to sing higher and work on all of that kind of stuff and take singing lessons, because it gave me a pretty good control over my voice, gave me some flexibility and so on. So I appreciate that, but it's not the voice I wanted. It's just the voice the world needed. So unfair. But thank you. I appreciate that. Steph, how do you square? It's hip to be square. The K-selected, now I want to cake up. The K-selected biological drive for nepotism and heavy parental investment, which is key to motivation, legacy, and wealth creation in free markets. What? How do you square the K-selected biological drive for nepotism and heavy parental investment, which is key to motivation, legacy, and wealth creation in free markets? Okay, so when you say, how do I square something, you've got to give me something to square against. In the free market under universal ethics, human nature's kin bias fundamentally clashes with the impartiality required for high-functioning voluntary meritocracy. Well, nepotism is potentially very productive, right? So let's take an example. So we got Bob and Bob Jr. We're giving the palindrome names a real workout today. Bob and Bob Jr. Now, Bob is a brilliant businessman, and his son, Bob Jr., is likely to be smarter than your average bear. I mean, there'll be some regression to the mean, but what happens is Bob Jr. grows up hearing lots of business stories from his father, right? Oh, this happened with this supplier, this happened with this employer, blah, 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 blah. How would you solve the problem? Blah, 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 right? So Bob Jr. gets 20 years of business education by the time he's 25. And he even overhears, if it's not coming to him directly, he overhears his father talking to his wife. His father brings over business partners and he listens in and so on. So he's getting a huge business education, not just in business principles in general, but in Bob's specific business. Let's say Bob runs a courier company or something like that. So is Bob Jr. a face out of the crowd, a random person in the back of a Degas painting, a thumbprint of blank humanity, when it comes to who should take over Bob Sr.'s business? Bob Jr. has a massive advantage. He probably has a similar kind of brain. He probably has at least somewhat similar IQ. And he's had 20 years of business education because he probably worked there as a student, right? So he's had huge amounts of experience. I mean, I remember I worked at a company once where the CEO's daughter was a data wrangler. And I had some skepticism about this. And everyone told me she's insanely good. She understands this data. She can wrangle it and maneuver it and fix it and change it and do all of this amazing stuff. So, because she'd grown up with the business and so on. So nepotism is incredibly efficient and effective, right? So with regards to my daughter, I've mentioned this before, so I'll keep it brief. I would constantly throw business challenges at her. Like we'd go to a Tim Hortons and she'd want a bagel and they would be out of bagels, right? And so I would say, okay, so let's say you were working at the Tim Hortons. How would you solve that? And we went through all the various scenarios. You'd call head office. You'd drive over to a neighboring Tim's to get some bagels. You'd go pick up some bagels from the convenience store. How would you solve the problem so you wouldn't have to say you're out of bagels? And I said, you don't just want to, you're not just an employee, like some dead-eyed, isn't it curious kind of guy staring at a podcaster, but you want to be an active person to solve problems in a business. So we've been talking about business challenges and problems from the very beginning. So should she ever wanted to go into business, she would have quite an advantage. So what's wrong with nepotism? There's nothing in particular wrong with it. Now, of course, if you've got a kid who doesn't want to go into the family business, then why not? I mean, they don't have to, right? But if they do want to, then they're going to have a lot of skills just based upon being around their father. Plus, If you're going to hire someone to take over Bob Sr.'s courier business, Bob Jr. is a pretty good person because Bob Jr. has free, expert, multi-decade business advice coming from his father. You hire someone from outside, he doesn't get that. Right? So Bob Jr. takes over as CEO of Bob Sr.'s company. When Bob Sr. retires, Bob Jr. can call his dad and say, hey, man, anytime, 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 right? Oh, it's what George Bush used to say, the younger George W. Bush used to say, in politics, access is everything. And I can pick up phone and call my dad, who's had decades of experience as head of the CIA and president, and blah, blah, blah. I can call my dad and get any advice, right? Getting a hold of my dad is not easy, but he'll always answer my call. So that's an example of how that kind of nepotism works. Now, only nepotism is not particularly great because there could be better people out there. But nepotism is a pretty good place to start. UPB is the only thing that's ever made sense. Well, thank you. Will Rene Good's wife forgive the officer? No, she won't. All IQ levels hate truth. I don't ever try to teach anyone anything anymore unless they ask me real nicely. Real nice. Steph, I love you. I love you too. But I still think we should see other people. That's an old Seinfeld joke. How can UPB be implemented worldwide? Well, you're going to have to share peacefulparenting.com. All I can do is spend a year writing the book and 40 years researching the book, read it as engagingly and entertainingly as possible, and make it free. I really can't. And tell everyone every single show. I'm not saying you haven't, but if you haven't shared the book, then expecting something to happen without you saying what steps can I personally take to implement it? Well, what? I don't understand this question about Nick Fuentes. What is Wanghaf? I don't know what that means. Richard on X, Wikipedia says you were born in Ireland. Is this true? Actually, it's been out. Ireland. How do you feel about what's happening in Ireland now? It's wretched. I have to avoid some of the topics that are out there in the world because I've done everything I could, including some quite dangerous stuff to help Ireland, and I think it's very sad. It's unbelievably, heartbreakingly awful and terrible and terribly sad. I've done everything I could and I can't do anything more. So I just have to kind of avoid the topic. But yeah, it's appalling. All right. I had a conversation with some co-workers, says someone. Massey, love you. Love my way, it's a new world. Psychedelic Furs, Massey Hall. I had a conversation with some co-workers, earlier today, in which all three of them were defending spanking or slapping as a means of making sure my kids know how serious this situation is. I left the truth sword sheathed, but I'm interested to know your thoughts on this sentiment. Why are you discussing moral philosophy at work? Why? I would not recommend it. So what you can say with regards to people talking about spanking, sometimes the very best you can do is simply not agree. Just say, I don't see it quite the same way. It's not my particular perspective, and just leave it at that. Then at least they know it's not a universal. Most people will never doubt what everyone else agrees with. I mean, that's culture, right? Most people will never doubt what everyone else. Sometimes it only takes one person in your whole life to disagree with something, and not even vociferously or aggressively, but most people will just agree with every unanimous opinion. It's a low T thing, but you know, whatever, right? So just one disagreement. Now, they might come back and say, well, what did you mean you didn't agree, right? And then you can say, well, you know, I think that there are maybe better alternatives to spanking. It's not my particular preference, and so on, and just leave it at that. But it's okay to play. I know this for me was like 7,000 shows, but it's okay to play hard to get when it comes to the spread of wisdom. Okay to play hard to get. You don't have to stalk people or chase them down with facts. And be careful at work. Be careful at work. You get moral enemies at work, your time at that company is very much numbered. The countdown has begun. All right. Oh, somebody broke out that acronym. Yeah, I'm not talking about that. All right. I'd say, says someone, trust has a place in nepotism as well. Example, you would trust Izzy over some stranger with better qualifications. Okay, so when it comes to what it is that I do here, who would have better qualifications than someone I raised? Your answer is very helpful. Thank you. You're very welcome. Great question. Intuitively, it just feels that nepotism has a conflict with true meritocracy. I just don't know to which degree. Well, it could or it could not, but the offspring of successful people have a massive advantage, right? So is it Scott? Scott Eastwood is Clint Eastwood's son, a very, very good-looking, charismatic guy. Now, if you're Clint Eastwood's son, you're probably going to get the audition because you're Clint Eastwood's son. It comes with a certain name recognition. Maybe your father will help out publicizing the show. The fact that it's Clint Eastwood's son will get articles. So just having the name Eastwood and having your dad be Clint Eastwood is going to give you an advantage when it comes to selling a movie. But if you're a bad actor, they won't cast you. But you'll get your foot in the door. All that your name can do, all that a famous name can do is open the door. It can't close the deal. All right. Steph, I plan on gestational surrogacy and becoming a single father to avoid risking 50% of my assets and paying a woman to sleep with other men while receiving child spousal support from me. Crazy? I think so. Yeah. I've got a show, maybe someone can dig up the number, where I go through all the steps that you need to take in order to reduce your risk of divorce to less than 5%. So, gestational surrogacy is a moral challenge. I get it's all voluntary, but it's not something that the child would choose if the child could choose. So I'm not a huge fan. Kay says, I do that with homeschooling. A lady at church called me brave for homeschooling, and I said, well, she's brave sending her kids to school. And it was super awkward. It's just annoying how people talk down to you when you do something different. See, and I hear what you're saying, Kay. I really do. I understand that perspective. But I find that the best way to deal with trolls, if you want to engage with them. Oh, The Truth About Marriage and Divorce. Thanks, James. The show is 6130. Wait, was that a Rush album? Oh, no, that's 8:30 in military time. 6130, The Truth About Marriage and Divorce. So if somebody says, oh, you're very brave to homeschool your daughter. Someone said to me, oh, you're very brave to homeschool your daughter. I'm like, sorry, brave. Brave how? What do you mean? It's not hostile. It's just, well, what do you mean? I just meant that you know, I mean, she's not going to have much socializing, and it's brave for you to take that. So I'm like, well, maybe you don't know many homeschoolers, but I'm not. I mean, do you think, why would you think that she doesn't get much socializing, right? Yeah, James is an archive ninja. That's right. So it's just curiosity. Why would you? And it's not like, why the hell would you think that? It's like, why do you think that kids don't get much socializing, right? I mean, we meet up with other kids, we meet up with other families, we have youth groups and so on, so we do get the socializing. But there's no bullying in homeschooling. And also, you know, there are advantages. We do get to control the curricula to a large degree. And stuff that we don't agree with doesn't get taught, at least without counter-arguments and so on. Because, you know, the problem with government schools is they don't give you counter-arguments. So when you don't get counter-arguments, you can't think. right? So everything in government schools is, this is the way it is. It's just a fact. And anybody who questions it is a Nazi or something like that, right? So that's one of the big problems with government schools. You know, at least you can give the arguments and the counter-arguments, right? Yeah, better shows, just be curious, but I get angry instead. Right, right. And you get angry, I understand it, but let me ask you this, and I could be wrong about all of this, as is the case with just about anything, but if you're 100% certain about your position, would you get angry, right? So if somebody, you write 2 and 2 makes 4, and somebody says, no, 2 and 2 makes 6, be like, what? What makes you say that? Right? If you were, try this, just try this on as a mindset. It's really, really interesting. Anger usually is interpreted as doubt. Right? Anger is interpreted as doubt. If you have overcome your own objections to a position, and I'll sort of give you an example just from tonight. So earlier there was a troll on YouTube who was saying that Steph has sanctioned the state murder of Rene Good or something like that, right? I know that I haven't. I know that it's not been established that it was murder. It could be self-defense and so on. Everyone knows where I stand with regards to government power as a whole. I think it's a tragic incident, but it also is very helpful to remind people that every time they asked the government to do something, guns are going to come out. So I have no patience for the people who are shocked that the government rules are enforced through violence. I was thinking the other day, wouldn't it be kind of funny? So in lots of places, yeah, I think it's in America, you can just show up and sign an affidavit that, I'm eligible to vote. You don't have to show any ID or any proof. Check it off, right? And you can also in some places vouch for up to 12 people. They're totally. So can you imagine if that's how taxes work, that you could just, I've paid my taxes. Yep, it's fine. No, yeah, absolutely. I paid my, also the 12, these 12 people I know totally paid their taxes. Can you imagine if that was how taxes worked? We never had a million years. But you want control over taxes, so you make voting work or pretend to have it work this way. So yeah, what if you were just 100% certain? What if you have overcome, right? So when people come at me and I get angry, the way that I interpret that for myself, right? I'm not saying this is some universal rule. If I get angry when someone comes at me, it's because I doubt my own perspective. Right? So there are people who say, Steph totally panicked about COVID and was promoting the terror-based narrative and so on, right? And I've done whole explanations about all of this and so on. And I'm very comfortable with my position on COVID and what I did during COVID. I said the lockdowns were a terrible idea. I can't tell people not to take the vaccine because that's medical advice. I can't give medical advice, but I can certainly say I didn't take it and give the reasons for that. And, protected my whole family and people who were willing to listen. And I pointed out very early on, at great cost to myself, I might add, did an entire presentation called The Case Against China, which is to say how it did come from a lab in China, which is now at least 50-50 accepted even by the alphabet agencies. So I think I did pretty well over COVID. I railed against the lockdowns and I railed against the idea that you could control the spread of something that was engineered to spread, right? So one of the reasons they couldn't say that COVID came from a lab was that if COVID came from a lab, there was no point having lockdowns. Because if it's engineered to infect human beings, like, so the reason why you'd have lockdowns is you don't want a virus that's hard to infect people. You don't want it to get better at infecting people, right? This is sort of my obviously amateur understanding. If the COVID virus was engineered in a lab specifically to be infectious to people, then there's no point having lockdowns because it's going to spread anyway, right? Yeah, case against China is show 4,600, the case against China. Thank you for not taking it. We might have lost you like we lost Scott Adams. Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I mean, having had cancer before, the last thing I wanted to do was do some mRNA muckaboos. Okay, says, I also think I get angry because I can tell they're being mean, trying to bully me into falling in line and doing what they do, but I can see how that's signaling insecurity. But they can't. See, can they make you? No. I mean, if there was some big thing to ban homeschooling in Canada or something like that, then that would be something to get angry about, perhaps. But the fact that she says, oh, you're so brave for homeschooling. Well, thank you. But why is it brave in particular? I mean, I appreciate the compliment, but I'm not sure what you mean. You can ask people stuff out of genuine curiosity, but she can't make you stop homeschooling, right? She can't, right? There's a great, is it Scott Jennings? Is he on CNN? When some kid, I can't remember, some Nepo kid was talking about, well, you can't say illegal alien. And he's like, brother, I don't even know you. How are you going to enforce that? How are you going to make me say what you do and don't want me to say? And that's what it's called in the law. So I'm just going to call it that. And Scott Jennings was pretty good that way, right? Like, how are you going to enforce, right? How are you going to tell me what I can and can't say? How are you going to enforce that decree or whatever it is, right? I wish I didn't care what people think and could be unbothered, hopefully one day. Well, no, there's nothing wrong with caring what people think, but the anger, because you've been manipulated and bullied in the past, you think that everyone, or there's a more likelihood that you think people are trying to manipulate and bully you in the present, right? So, you know, when people say, you can't discipline your kids without aggression, you can't discipline your kids without punishment. Why not? Yeah, when PTSD is kind of a thing, right? So if you've had people really bully you in the past, that's really easy to be oversensitive to bullying, right? Like I did the show on Jeremy Kaufman, who I like. He ran LBRY for quite some time, which was a platform I used, and I think he got kind of hounded out of existence. But he did do this thing where his 2-year-old wouldn't pick up a carrot, so he made the 2-year-old sit for like 4 or 5 hours until the 2-year-old picked up the carrot, and I did a show on it. I had a drive, so I wasn't planning on doing a 40-minute show, but it was an interesting question, so I did a topic and got... He seemed to get a little bit huffy, which, you know, what I can understand. It's not fun to get that kind of feedback, although I was very positive towards the guy. I think he's a pretty good guy. But it was kind of funny because it's like, well, you could have just called me and we could have talked it out. It's like, oh, so you don't like being corrected, but you have a whole show about correcting your 2-year-old, but you don't like being corrected. All right. What do we got here? That show 6271. We're going to get up there. You know, if I was a betting man, well, I am a betting man, which is why I don't bet because I like to bet. If I was a betting man, I'd say, how many shows am I going to produce before I die? That's interesting. I think, let's see here. So I've been doing this for 21 years. I have 6,300 shows or something like that. If I do this for another 20 years, that takes me to 79. I can definitely do that. I probably won't be doing 2 shows a day like I did at the beginning. I did a commute there, commute back, and then shows on the weekend. So, but I think I will get at least to 11,000. I think at least we'll get to 11,000. All right. But yeah, just ask people. You're very brave to homeschool. Oh, that's interesting. What do you mean? Help me understand. It's not my perspective, but you could be right. But I'd love to know what you think. It's a delicate thing to say to people, tell me why you think what you think without it sounding like some big criticism. Does your wife have any sisters? I'm asking for a single guy I know. I'm not going to. I mean, I appreciate the question. I'm not going to put out info about my wife's family. But I certainly do appreciate the question. All right. And yeah, did I miss anything here? Let me just go back to the beginning and start again. Yeah, if you're confident about stuff, Steph, if you're confident about stuff, you tend not to be too defensive. Steph, longevity and health is strongly correlated with leg lean mass and VO2 max. Do you exercise regularly? I exercise pretty much every day. At least half an hour to an hour. I sure hope it helps because it's a big time investment. And so I do exercise a lot. And hopefully it will work out. All right. Do we have any other questions, issues, challenges, problems, thoughts on your mind? Happy to hear. Happy to answer. Happy to mull and ponder. I will ponder ponderously. Passive-aggressive behavior is loathsome. My mother wrote the book on it. Yeah. Besides walking and light weights, what else? Oh, that's delightful. Oh. And besides walking and lightweight. Bro, you should join me for a workout one day. Your nipples would hit the ceiling. No, I don't just do lightweight. I mean, I'm not a big muscle guy. Like, I don't take any supplements and I'm not working to bust out of my suit jacket or anything or turn sideways to go through the door, but jazzercise and Pilates. Actually, I have one of my weights right here. Look. Oh, feel the burn. Oh, I can't. I pulled something. Oh, God. Oh, walking in light weights. walking in light weights. Listen, I don't bench press with your intellect or empathy. Because that's pretty lightweight. Just kidding, right? Oh, that's very funny. Besides walking in lightweight. It's just amazing to me that people just say stuff without even wondering how it's going to land. Anyway, in all seriousness, it would be cool to see you and your wife together on the show sometimes. I know it's unlikely, but your marriage family are an inspiration. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. She's not a public person, really. Let's see here. Why does the mob always get a pass? It seems people are quick to blame leadership, but never blame the average person when the average person arguably is causing more collective damage. The mob doesn't always get a pass. Are you kidding me? Go talk to January Sixer. They don't get a pass. I mean, if you're on the left, you get a pass, because the left is pro-criminal, or rather they like to weaponize. Criminals are to the left a bioweapon against normal society. Where would you prefer your number one fan to follow you out of all the platforms you're on? Do you think censorship wave will come post-Trump? Oh, yeah. I mean, arrests are going to come post-Trump, for sure. Another one of the exercises I do is I have a little pink pencil with a troll with fuzzy hair on top, and I use it to write in my pink diary with the locks. So I lift that quite a bit, for sure. That's a challenge, for sure. Sometimes I will buy a hardcover Harlequin romance, so it's a little heavier, and sometimes I feel a bit of a burn in my shoulders from turning the pages to find out how Chad Thundercock comes out on top. So I do, yeah, I do take creatine. Came out wrong, but at least you're laughing. I don't think it came out wrong. I think you typed exactly what you thought. Could you tell us about your diet since your operation? Well, today, what did I eat today? I had a scone. I woke up at about 9. I had a scone. I wasn't too hungry. I had a scone around 3 o'clock. Today, my wife made a little bowl of mac and cheese. She makes a homemade mac and cheese that is fantastic. And I had a sausage. And that's it. So I usually only have one reasonable-sized meal a day. And I'll snack a little bit here and there, but that's about it. What are some of your thoughts on Martin Luther King and Malcolm X? I mean, it's just put forward by the communists to destabilize society, so. I'd love to pump iron with Steph before I die, LOL. Should we get everybody together to do a Free Domain 5K? I don't run. I mean, I can run. I even sprinted last year pretty far, but I don't run. For me, as I get older, I'm looking for non-impact stuff. I will do a bike machine. I will walk a lot. I will even do Stairmaster from time to time, but I don't run. I used to. I ran 24 miles once. I was on the cross-country team and so on when I was in my teens and ran a lot in my 20s, but I don't run anymore. Yeah, swimming is great, but, you know, it's not easy to get a hold of a pool, to put it mildly. Aussie here, how would you summarize your overall experience in Australia? Don't hold back. I loved the people, loved the places. Your government was an absolute shitstorm of non-enforcement. And let slip the dogs of war. They let slip the feral leftists to do whatever they wanted. And, I mean, but, you know, nonetheless, they let me in. They let me speak and let Lauren Southern speak and all of that. So, but running provides minor impacts that are correlated with healthier spines. Yeah. I mean, I live in Canada. It's pretty tough to run unless you're on a machine, right? Because it's frozen. Could you do a 40-kilometer bike ride? I don't know. I mean, certainly if it was flat. I remember some years ago I did the 5 boroughs. They shut down New York and I did the 5-borough bike ride. I guess knees and ankles should also be considered. So shoulders, back, knees. These are the things that get men. And so far, so good. I've had crunchy knees from time to time, but I work through those. So if you can avoid back injuries, like half of men my age have back issues, and they're hell. They're just absolute hell. So I do back stretches and, you know, the bench thing where you kind of go down and up with your hands behind you. I do those, and I make sure I do lift the weights with Grant. So you have to, what do you think is your most controversial belief? Well, I'm not answering that. Do you remember your cross-country times? No, I don't. I wasn't timed in that way. I wasn't running marathons or anything like that. I was just, when I worked up north, I did a lot of running. I did record myself working out recently because I wanted to check form. So maybe I'll post a picture or two from that so you can see how the frame looks without this sexy gray smoky t-shirt covering up the ab. Hope to add an S to that. Actually, I could see abs when I was working out with a good light. I could see my abs, but they're shy. I have a condition. It's a middle-aged man condition called shy abs. They like to stay under the blanket. It's cold, and they don't like to come out because they will get frostbite. And so they like to stay a smidge buried under muffin top. But I can still vaguely see them. A little squinting and a little coaxing and some duct tape and mascara. And if you shade it right, they can come out. Do you have a deathbed confession prepared? So far as controversial beliefs are concerned, you mentioned something along those lines in a previous episode. No. I may do something at some point, but of course I have to also think about those who have come after me, right? So. All right. All right, so I'll wait for a question or two more, but I really appreciate everyone's time tonight. freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. If you could, I would be very thrilled. All right. Thank you, everyone, so much for coming by tonight. A real pleasure. freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. shop.freedomain.com, freedomain.com/books, and peacefulparenting.com. Please, to share all of that. Maybe I'll record a workout at some point. So I did read Lauren Southern's new book. It's interesting, for sure. Lots of love, everyone. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Bye.